I'm Katie Clark. This is The World. The eastern coast of Vietnam looks something like the ridges on a dragon's back as it curves down along the South China Sea. John Bauermaster traced that curving path in an unusual way, by sea kayak. Bauermaster's 800-mile-long journey along the coast of Vietnam back in 2001 is the subject of a new book called Descending the Dragon. John, you set out on your expedition from Ha Long Bay, which is the answer to today's geo quiz. Ha Long Bay is in northeast Vietnam. What was going through your mind when you started the journey?
Well, what's interesting about travel often is you return with, of course, some visual memories. But from Vietnam, I think some of the most powerful memories I have are the sounds and that tuck, 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 tuck.
Which
are
the boats going
by? Tiny two-cylinder engines on the back of every boat, because it is a boating culture there.
Your mission was partly to explore the coastal geography of Vietnam. So if you could sort of trace that out for us a bit.
Well, we started in the far north, just on the border of China. And our intention was to really see half of the coastline. The entire coastline of Vietnam is about 1,500 miles. And we started in that beautiful Ha Long Bay and those green waters and tall limestone islands. And then as we got further south, the jungle literally ran right up to the sea. And everyone we met was literally living on the water, either in floating houses or on boats. And then down near Hue and Da Nang and to Hoi An, the beaches opened up and were quite wide and sandy and beautiful. And to be honest, we kind of stopped there because the geography got kind of repetitive. We could have done the next 800 miles, but it was just more beaches.
Well, mostly you say you wanted to meet people, and there were plenty to meet, as I understand. Around a third of Vietnam's population lives on or near the coast. Are there one or two people that you met that really stick out in your mind?
Well, the beauty of this trip in Vietnam was that we met hundreds of people every day, and that was the goal. You know, being an American, I had a great curiosity about Vietnam, especially North Vietnam, where I felt we just didn't know much about the people. We didn't hear one word of animosity, and everyone welcomed us into their house with tea or rice wine from these very, very poor crab fishermen who invited us up into their shacks and literally picked apart the crab legs for us and kind of marveled at why we had hair on our legs. And and that, to be honest, was the reason we went by kayak. I really think if we'd come by car, we would never have gotten such an intimate look at their lives.
You have in your book really beautiful photographs, and I'm looking right here at one. It's a group of four children on a boat, and the caption reads, "Children make their way to school in one of Ha Long Bay's floating villages." So this is sort of like a little school bus for them.
Yeah, they were actually paddling little pieces of wood or styrofoam. Sometimes their grandparents would row them to school. But this was one of the most beautiful things we saw in the north in Ha Long Bay, are these floating villages where there were 250 to 600 people living in plywood shacks floating out there, supported by the government to the degree that the government sends school teachers out. But it's not a bad place for a person who fishes because there's no rent once you build the house.
How approachable were they to somebody with a camera?
Yeah, the people had no issue with the camera, but we were followed 24/7 by a monitor provided by the Foreign Press Center in Hanoi, who accompanies every journalist who arrives in Vietnam. It didn't matter that we were from National Geographic. If we'd been from the Hoboken News, they would have followed us as well. And I would ask the monitor, who thus became part of our adventure, I would ask him frequently, "Why do you feel a need to follow us? What are you concerned about?" And, of course, they did expressed a concern about our safety. Here we are kayaking on the ocean. It's a very poor country, does not know a lot of leisure time, not a lot of kayak experience. Our monitor, Lynn, he would say to me, "Well, I'm along just to make sure you only meet people who tell the truth."
Did the trip end too soon, as far as you were concerned?
Of all the traveling I've done, it was perhaps the most exhausting because of not because of the kayaking part, but because of the daily fighting with the government representatives over where we could go, who we could talk to, who we couldn't talk to, etc. That was very wearing. And so when my other teammates left and went their various ways, I stayed. The last day I did go out for a paddle, and I met this great guy coming in. He had this tiny little boat with this torn sail. It looked like it had literally been made from pink and blue bedsheets. He spoke a little bit of English, and I was able to talk to him, and I asked him what it was. Because he was going out every day and fishing, and I asked him what he liked most about his life, and he said independence, which I thought was a great conclusion for in a country where there's not as much independence as we might wish.
John Bauermaster, kayaker and author of Descending the Dragon. Thanks for coming in and sharing your stories with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.